My reward. It's working. It's working. And God is blessing CGC and our English congregation. Well, I confess that I've got this little story that I got from Max Lucado, who in turn got it from another author. Nothing is original, is it? Lloyd Douglas. And he writes, when author Lloyd Douglas attended college, he lived in a boarding house with a retired music professor who lived on the first floor. Douglas would stick his head in the door and ask, what's the good news? Similar to we say, so what's new, right? The old man would pick up his tuning fork, tap it on the side of his chair, and he would say, that's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C. And I just happen to have a tuning fork here, and it's a middle C. I'm going to give this away to somebody at the end of the service. You and I point in a middle C. An unchanging reference point in a changing world. I need to share something that happened last Sunday, and I asked for permission to share this. Last Sunday, as I was leaving the front entrance of the church, David Shanta was there in the middle of the conversation, and I jumped into the middle of a conversation, so I don't know what the context of the conversation was, but I heard him say, it's all relative. And I stopped and I looked at him and I said, David, I've been here 7.5 years and I've been teaching that truth is not relative and you're still saying it's all relative? And so, that was a joke. And so I think he understood what I was trying to do. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute as middle C is middle C. By the way, middle C is a certain frequency, and it will never change. It always oscillates at the same, exact same frequency. And of course, more specifically, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, why did the recipients of the book of Hebrews need to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, these Christians were struggling with transitions in their lives. There were persecutions from the outside. There were discouragements from within. Christians, possibly in name only, were leaving the faith and going back to Judaism. They were struggling with the question of whether to go back into full-blown Judaism or to continue believing that Jesus' sacrifice brought an end to the sacrificial system because Jesus Christ himself is the ultimate and the perfect sacrifice. So these Christians needed to know stability. They needed to know that while almost everything around you is changing, there are some things of eternal value that never change. When you think of the transitions that this church would be going through, you want people to know that they have a rock to stand on, a rock to depend on, a sure foundation that doesn't change like everything else in this world does. But in order to know the significance of this unchanging Savior, you need to know what he's like in the first place. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, and I say he doesn't change, to you it might be no big deal until you get to know what he's like. So let's think about some attributes of God. This isn't going to be an expository message on this passage, by the way. I'm just sort of skipping through it to highlight some things. First, something that we should all know is that Jesus Christ, in his character and in his being, is exactly like God the Father. The Father is God, the Son is God. And God said in his word, I, the Lord, do not change. That's why the author of Hebrews writes, Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When I was a young teenager, I shouldn't say young, when I was like 19, when God turned my life around, this verse spoke to me powerfully because I had experienced a lot of transition in my life. My life was very unstable. In fact, the verse that God used to bring conviction to my heart was, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's also in James chapter 1 in this very context. And then James goes on to say that he is the father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God's character is solid, it is consistent, it is dependable. He will never change. People disappoint. Plans change. Buildings dilapidate. Politicians outright lie. Not all politicians, but many. Transitions come and go. Time marches on, but God never changes. Now, how specifically does the fact that God does not change affect you and me? How does that apply to you and me? Well, in thinking about the attributes of God, let's look first of all at the attribute of his omnipotence. That means that God is all-powerful. There is no limit to God's strength. There is nothing that God cannot do. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the sustainer of the entire universe. He holds everything together. He never loses his power. His power never fades. It never diminishes. It never weakens. The psalmist tells us that he rules by his mighty power. Power grows weak. There is no getting tired. He never grows weak. He is never fatigued. When the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, it wasn't because he was exhausted from creating the heavens and the earth. He was just as strong on the seventh day as he was before, wheelbarrow full of dirt. Now, I get tired after pushing one wheelbarrow full of dirt. But God does not get tired after pushing up the Rocky Mountains, after creating the oceans and all of the life that is in it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, the creation, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. That, to me, is comforting. He will never change in this respect. When you see the weather raging, when you hear the most powerful countries in the world threatening each other with war, when you come down with an illness, when other unforeseen circumstances shake your life at its core, my God and your God is absolutely sovereign, dependable, all-powerful, and that will never change. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that this all-powerful God is love. One of the few ways in which God is described at the core of his character, God is love. And if God is unchanging, if Jesus Christ is unchanging, that means his love for you will never change. He will never love you less than the day he died for you. Do you remember the way John chapter 13 begins, that incident where Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples? In that first verse, it says these precious words. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. And that same love that the Lord Jesus had for his disciples back then is the love that he has for you and for me today. He will love you to the end. He will love you until the day that you see him face to face, and he will continue to love you throughout all of eternity. It will never end because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is unchanging. He will never stop forgiving you when you come to him to confess your sin. He will never give up on you. His love will never lessen. He will be there with you when you draw your final breath, and with the same love, he will be the one to greet you with open arms on the other side of the valley. Do you feel unloved by humanity? Are you experiencing rejection by others? Are you experiencing a separation from a loved one? Are you lonely? Take comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ's love for you is as steady and as strong as the day that he foresaw you before you were even created. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, give us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The thought here is that if God loved you so much that he gave you the absolute most precious, most great gift that he could, that an omnipotent God could give you, that is, the life of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he loved you that much, and if he's given you that much, then why wouldn't he share everything else with you? Because everything else is less than what he gave you in Jesus Christ. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's how much he loves you. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love never fails. His love never fails. It will succeed in all of its intentions. He promises that his presence is with us forever. And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus was physically leaving his disciples, we read, I am with you always to the end of the age. This Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that he gave you his life, that he died for your sins, that he took your punishment on himself, be with you. If he loves you that much, this same Jesus says, I will be with you always, always. If he never changes, that promise will never change. It's reliable. Are you aware of his presence in your life? Are you aware of his loving presence in your life? I am with you. Disciples must have wondered as he ascended into the clouds after saying, I am with you always. They must have wondered, how does that work? He's leaving. What do you mean he's going to be with us? 10 days later, God descended and moved into the hearts of every believer present in the person of the Holy Christ too on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit represents Jesus Christ to us, and he is with us until the end of days. And he's been dwelling in the heart of every believer since that day. He is always with us. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Are you aware of his presence? How often do you become aware of his presence? Not because you feel something, but because God's word says so. He's there. He's in your life. He's in your heart. He's always there. I've often said this in the past, and I hope you'll remember this. When other people are with me, it modifies my behavior. It modifies what I think. It modifies what I say. When I'm with my wife, it modifies my behavior. It modifies what I say. It modifies what I do. When I'm aware of the presence of Christ, it changes everything. And hopefully, as Christians become more and more mature, it doesn't have to change anymore because it's constant. Jesus Christ is always present, and you always live with the realization that Jesus Christ is present with us, and he loves us, and his love will never change. This will never change. These are just a few ways in which an unchanging God is of infinite blessing in the life of a believer. I want to move to verse 7 in that passage that we read in the book of Hebrews. Verse 7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith." The author specifies those leaders. He says, "Remember those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith." Don't just mindlessly imitate anyone who claims to be a leader, but you imitate those whose lifestyles match their biblical teaching. Imitate their faith. I want to tell you, this is how I learned the most, by imitating leaders, by learning from their example as much as learning from their teaching. And of course, if the teaching doesn't match the example, there's no power to that message. Down in verse 17, there's another exhortation regarding leadership. It says there, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with groaning and not with groaning." Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. One of the notes that I've been hitting on a lot lately is that our service needs to be characterized by joy. And if we're not serving with joy, there's something wrong in the kitchen. We need to serve with joy. And the Bible tells us that for you to obey your leaders and submit to them, that would be, that it needs to be done with joy and not with groaning. So if there's a whole lot of groaning going on, you need to look and examine, see what the problem is, discern what the issue is, and encourage your leaders by submitting to them. And of course, we're not just talking about pastors and elders here. Leaders are elders and deacons and teachers, board members, Sunday school teachers. Consider their lifestyles. Imitate them. And I cannot stress this enough. The power of a positive example cannot be overestimated. And just a personal word here, you guys have a great bunch of leaders here. I have never served in a church with the great number of mature, wise, experienced, kind, loving leaders that you have in this place. And so follow their example and become like them. That becomes a powerful message just by way of an example. The body of Christ will be seen as the body of Christ when that happens. But I want to you the word of God. Those who spoke to you the word of God. Those who spoke to you the word of God. The word of God, of course, is what I would commend to you as I prepare to leave. It's the one key element in this entire passage that gives everything its coherence. Without the word, we would not know about the solid rock that our God is. Without the word of God, we would not know the promises of God that are ours. Without the word of God, we would likely be animists like so many others across the globe. The word of God is the truth. And Christ is the truth. And without the word of God, we would not know about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the words, that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The word of God is life-giving. The word of God is the good news of God, the gospel of God, and it is unchanging. The gospel is unchanging. You know, when the piano player, I don't think the tuners that tune pianos today have these devices anymore. They use electronic devices. And I have a keyboard at home, and if I don't like where middle C is, there's a slider on the back of the thing. I can change it. But it's not middle C anymore, even though it's that white ivory behind the black one right there in the middle. But it's not middle C anymore. I can adjust middle C on my keyboard, but in reality, you cannot adjust this. You need to adjust yourself to this, and the piano tuner needs to adjust the piano to the constant that middle C is, and we need to adjust our lives to the constant that truth is, that the gospel is. It is the truth that we build our lives on, and it's the truth that the church must maintain and continue being built upon. Moses, who at the beginning of his calling became infamous for telling God that he was ineloquent and that he could not speak, but yet he ended his career as a leader of God's people, and he sang the following song. He wrote the following song for the people. And this literally became his swan song. I want you to listen to his opening statement. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. What made the difference in Moses' life that he started his life as a stumbling, ineloquent speaker, denying that he'd do anything for God, that he didn't really want to serve God, and then he ended his life with a speech that's the most eloquent passage in all of the Bible? What happened to Moses? He got to know his God. Point of God is the main point. This unchanging God is the key point of the entire Bible as he reveals himself in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, our rock that we stand on. Then Moses exhorts his people, which I am with that song, by saying this: take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life, and by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. This word is your very life, and by this word you will live long. What a promise. This word is your life. It is unchanging. It is what gives my life meaning and purpose. It's my life. The word is my life. Without this word, my life would have had no coherence. And I'm so glad it is unchanging, like the middle C. At the very center of this truth, the music of the gospel. The music of the gospel. Being redeemed gives harmony to all the components of my life. The reconciliatory power of the gospel and the power of grace gives harmony to all our relationships. It never changes. It's always there. And so I commend to you this unchanging God, this unchanging Savior, this unchanging Word. Let it be your bedrock. Let it be that which binds your life together, gives meaning to your life. Let it be your middle C. Last Sunday, I said I was going to give a gift to the church, and I want to do that now. I'm going to ask our PCT members to come on the platform here in order that they might receive Carol, could you bring it up, please? And maybe stand with me. So you're going to think this a little bit weird. Now, what I want from you is a promise that you're going to hang this up on a wall somewhere in the church, so that when the tour guide and when they come visitors from, you know, one picture to another and tells the story, and when they come to this picture, they're going to say, "What is that doing there?" And you will have an opportunity to talk about the music of the gospel. That the gospel is based on a word that never changes, in the same way that this tuning fork will always resonate at 512 hertz. Okay? So, men, thank you so much for being the team that you were for me. So good.
And we thank you so much, Pastor. For all these years, you clearly and consistently pointed us to God. And for that, we give you much, much thanks. Now let's receive the offering. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the message received from the Word today. We thank you that we've had a couple years to journey with the Peters family. We thank you for Werner and Carol and their family. And we ask that, although we won't see them as often, that you might continue to give them the passion to point others towards Jesus, towards God. That even though we, our journey kind of parts ways here, that we may keep in touch as brothers and sisters in your kingdom. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings in this ministry. We thank you for the many rich blessings to Chinese Gospel Church. And as we obey your word to give back tithe and offerings, we just ask that your work in this great kingdom that you have allowed us to journey and be a part of will continue. Receive our offerings, dear God, this morning in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.